Well, this morning, we're going to start a brand new three-week sermon series, and it's based on Genesis. We're calling it From Genesis, and we're going to go from three different stories to discover some truths. So this morning, we're focusing on the creation story. So, of course, as you might imagine, we're going to start at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and read through verse 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. As I'm sure you probably know, the creation story has created conflict between Christians and other people. Some people take the creation story extremely literally. Some believe that the earth is 6,000 years old based on the genealogies of the Bible. This is called the young earth theory of creation. Some point to the fact that a bristlecone pine tree is, the oldest one, is 4,300 years old. You want to show that picture? Now, it's not the prettiest tree, but it's a tree that we know, as far as we know, is the oldest living thing on earth. And people believing in that young theory would say, well, that fits within that 6,000 years. Some Christians believe that to be a true Christian, you must believe that creation was made in the exact order listed in Genesis. But what do you do with dinosaur fossils and rocks that are way more than 6,000 years old? Or human fossils that are way older than 6,000 years old? I believe that the creation story was not meant to teach astronomy or geology or biology or any other science. That was not the main concern of the authors. They wanted to teach us theology. And the writers of the story used the knowledge that they had in the time. For example, they believed that the earth was surrounded by seas of water. I want to show that image. This is a drawing of how they understood, I mean, this is thousands of years ago, how they understood the earth. They believed that under the earth was water. Because when they dug a well, what did they find? Water. So they thought there was water under the earth, and the earth sat upon the water. They also believed there was a dome in the heavens. And above that dome, there was another sea of water. And because at times it would rain down from above, they figured the windows of heaven had opened at those times and was letting that sea through. Within the dome, there were a set of lights. There was a disk that was the sun. There was a smaller disk that was the moon. And there were all the stars that were set in the dome. And the stars and the moon and the sun, by the way, were all seen as being equal distant from Earth. We hear these beliefs in the Scripture. Listen to Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome, and it separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. And God called the dome sky. Now we have a little bit different understanding today, don't we? Now the creation story got many things right. Some scientists say that creation began with light. A big bang. Let there be light, God said. And there was light. And everything went hurling away from a center point. Creation story also says that life started from water. And that's what evolutionary biologists say. Genesis says that life moved from simpler forms of life to more complicated forms of life. And that's what our biologists tell us. The creation story tells us that our bodies come from the dust of the earth. Scientists also tell us our bodies are made of the elemental building blocks of the earth. But then there are places where the creation story and science clash. First off, of course, that there is a sea in the heavens. We know that's not true. The order of creation is different than what science believes. But most of us are okay with that, because this was the best understanding they had at the time. The good news is, we don't have to pick between evolution and creation. We don't have to decide between science or God. Because evolution is a process over time. And the creation story says that God is behind every process of the universe. And God could have designed a process by which creation might change. A system that works over time. So that more complex forms of life will come from simpler ones. In the creation story, we learn that God calls us to rule over the earth. We're to manage it. We're to govern it. We are to be stewards over it. We are to take care of God's planet. And then in Genesis 2, God's breath gives life to humans. God gives us soul. And we're told that we are more than the sum total of the cells in our body. Creation story also tells us it's not good to be alone. Man needs a companion. So God forms the new and improved version. The 2.0 version. At least that's what half of us think. Have you ever heard of the feminist creation story? One day in the Garden of Eden, Eve calls out to God, "Lord, I have a problem." "What's the problem, Eve?" "Lord, I know you've created me and have provided this beautiful garden and all these wonderful animals, but I'm just not happy." "Why is that, Eve?" "Well, Lord, I'm lonely and I'm sick to death of apples." "Well, Eve, in that case, I have a solution. I shall create a man for you." "What's a man, Lord?" Eve asks. "This man will be a flawed creature," says the Lord, "with aggressive tendencies, an enormous ego, and the inability to empathize or listen to you properly. All in all, he'll give you a hard time. But he will give you some good times too." "Sounds great," said Eve, with some hesitation. "Yeah, well," says God, you can have him on one condition." "What's that, Lord?" "You have to let him believe that I made him first." Now let's be clear. That's not the story found in Genesis. with Eve, Adam is not alone. Now the two can help each other. They can be a blessing to each other. And Adam's response is joy. He's excited about that. And their companionship was a great joy. They never argued about who would wear the plants in the family. Yeah, I know, it was bad. But it was fun. But they did argue about forbidden fruits. The creation story tells us we are to be in relationship. It is healthier to be in relationship. So we try to be a gift of God to other people. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. In the creation story, we are told that we are made in the image of God. What is the image of God? I mean, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're going to look physically like God. Because in the Old Testament, God is described as light. And we are not that. It is our capacity to think and reason. It is our capacity to love and be in relationship. In this, we are like God. In this way, we are created in the image of God. And this is where our worth and value comes from. It doesn't come from the fact of which job we have or how much money we make or which house we're in. It comes from the idea that we are made in the image of God. And if you believe that, it can make a profound difference in your life. Dr. Fred Craddock was a seminary professor. And once while he was lecturing at Yale University, he told of going back one summer to near his home and for a vacation at Gatlinburg, Tennessee, with just his wife. And he said they found this quiet little restaurant where they could just have a dinner for two and they could just be by themselves. But while they were waiting for their meal, they noticed a distinguished-looking, white-haired man who was walking from table to table and greeting people. And Craddock whispered to his wife, "I hope he doesn't come over here." But the man did come to their table. "Where are you folks from?" "Oklahoma." "Splendid state, I hear, although I've never been there. What do you do for a living?" "I teach homiletics," by the way, that's preaching, "at the graduate seminary at Phillips University." "Oh, so you teach preachers, do you? Well, I've got a story to tell you." And with that, he sat down at their table. Fred Craddock said he groaned inwardly. Everybody, he said, seems to have a preacher's story. The man stuck out his hand. I'm Ben Hooper. And he said, "You know, I was born not far from here across the mountains. My mother wasn't married when I was born, so other people had a name for me. My classmates had a name for me, and it was not a good name. I used to go off by myself at recess and lunch break, because of the sarcastic remarks I got from some of my classmates that cut me so deeply. What was worse was going downtown on a Saturday afternoon, and I had this feeling that every eye was burning a hole in me as they were wondering who really was my father. When I was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to our church. And I would always go in late and leave early. But one day, the preacher said the benediction so quickly, I got caught. And I had to walk out with everybody else. I could feel every eye in that church on me. Just about at the time I got to the door, I felt this heavy hand on my shoulder. And I looked up, and the preacher was looking right at me. Who are you, son? Whose boy are you? I felt that old weight coming down again. It was like a big black cloud. Even the preacher was putting me down. But as he looked at me, a smile of recognition grew across his face, and he said, "Wait a minute. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You are a son of God. Boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it." And he slapped me on the back and sent me out the door. The old man looked across the table at Fred Craddock and his wife and said, "That was the most important sentence spoken to me in my entire life." He smiled, got up from the table, and went to talk to some other people. Suddenly, Fred Craddock remembered. Ben Hooper had been the governor of Tennessee. The creation story tells of our worth that comes from the fact that we are children of God. We are made in God's image. So you are something. You belong to God. Go and claim your inheritance. Amen.